Yes, sir. Please take your Bibles to Acts 20. I want to thank Pastor Johnston for hosting this. Hosting any meeting where invitations go out and people come in, it adds a burden, added burden to a man that has a busy ministry. And then also to his family, of course. He is not hosting this on his own, but Mrs. Johnston and the kids. I appreciate their efforts going into this very much. It's nice to meet many of you and to be reacquainted. I know it's hard sometimes to listen to a stranger preach. And so it's nice to be able to get to know each other a little bit better. Pastor Johnston did say my last name is Polish. My dad emigrated here from Poland, so I'm first generation born in America. I'm proud to be an American. I'm enjoying every bit of it. And so thank God for the country he allowed me to be born in. And also for the state of Kansas. I've enjoyed being here just over 2 years now. So born and raised in Chicago, lived in Texas for 11 years, and now in Kansas for two. I enjoy breakfast. I don't know, just things, nice to meet people and learn things about them. Anybody else enjoy breakfast? Breakfast is a, that didn't seem very overwhelming. How about lunch? Is lunch a better meal for you? No, you guys are talking about fasting. I'm not really sure. I'm trying to nail it. I'm trying to, dinner? Like, see if we have anything in common here. Food. Food? Okay, good. Okay, there you go. I have a fast metabolism. I wake up hungry. I wake up with my stomach growling, and I really hangry within 3 minutes. And so I've got to cook breakfast. But maybe the disparity is because we are not all from the same region. Some of you hail more from the south. And I tell you what, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it's not accurate, is it, Brother Johnston? Did you see the invitation? We are invited to stay for dinner at noon. Did you see that on his invitation? Yeah. I'm telling you what, I think I could have helped the entire country avoid a civil war if we just implemented 4 meals a day. I really think it should have been breakfast, lunch, dinner, supper. Just go to 4 and it's solved. Problem solved. I know. Phew. My goodness. Okay, good. Now, so we know we have in common, we know we don't have in common, but it's just food as far as labeling meals or when you have them. Not really sure. Nice. I don't know, just getting to know people. Enjoying being a part of this meeting. See where it goes from here. I've enjoyed the preaching so far. It was nice to hear from Pastor Stockberger last night. Paul in chains. What a tremendous statement he made about how God used Moses and his staff, and he used David and his sling, and he used Gideon and his pitcher, and he used Paul and his chains. That was thought-provoking. And then we got to hear also from Pastor Metzinger and the complete revelation of God through his word. What a humbling thought that we get to have that. And then Brother Henderson, you can't go wrong preaching about response to the gospel. And I enjoyed that very much. Thank you. So we're in Acts chapter 20. Yes, we're looking at verse 21. Testifying, Acts 20:21, testifying. The Bible says, both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the testimony of Paul. He is, this is his ministry. This is what he's going around doing, asking both Jews and Greeks, preaching repentance and faith. And that is our emphasis as pastors, as ministers. That's what we're doing. That whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach if they're not sent? We get this great responsibility, this great opportunity. And I tell you what, as Paul went through his ministry, he had some reservations isn't the right word. Fears probably isn't the right word, but just he had some concerns about his ministry. What we read about one of them in 1 Corinthians, he says, but I know under my body and bring it into subjection. Talking about fasting, yeah? That was quoted just a second ago. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. His concern, right, was that I'm concerned that when I'm trying to help others, that I myself might be ineffective in my ministry at some point. I don't want to see that happen at any point in my ministry. And my goodness, guys, I have such a burden for the pastors. It hurts to see pastors become ineffective in ministry for whatever reason. It bothers me when young men go through college and they go into ministry and just, man, early on, they just fizzle out. Just, come on, guys. We needed you. We need you now. It hurts me when contemporaries, guys that I grew up with, have a similar struggle, and for whatever reason, they're ineffective in the ministry God called them to, whether they deviate from doctrine, or they fall into sin, or they just kind of walk away from it. You think, where was the sustaining power of God in this ministry? Man, when old men, it hurts, it shakes you to your core when you see old men just kind of fade off the scene, and you think, man, I would have loved to see them just elevate all the way to the end. And Paul said, this is a burden of mine, that I don't want to become ineffective in ministry. And I know what pastors fellowship, but ladies and kids and church members, same thing. God has called you to be a part of a ministry, and God wants you to be effective. He does not want you to be a castaway. Paul talks about, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. And he said, I want to be aggressive in this all the way to the end. I don't want to have any moment in my ministry where I kind of laid back and just coasted through. He said, I'm going to press towards the mark. One of his reservations was, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith all the way to the end. And if I could encourage you this morning to fight a good fight, make sure you're doing it the way God outlined it to be done. Make sure you're finishing your course. Make sure you're running this race the way God. But we want to encourage others to run the race alongside of us.
Right. Yes.
Yes, we want to make sure. I love the fact that Junction City has their senior pastor represented, and then also an assistant or a young man that's coming up. What a blessing to see that, encouraging other men to run in this race with us. Just a blessing that God allowed us early in the ministry. It's kind of just a prayer and said, God, I know a church of 30 or 40 doesn't need an assistant, but God, that would be such a blessing because I'm not trying to maintain a church of 30. I'm trying to grow a church.
Amen.
And God allowed a young man, Joseph Ryburn, to move up from Texas and to intern with us. He's been here for 6 months. Man, what a blessing. Undeserving of that, but just such an encouragement to have a young man to be able to shadow you, to be able to be alongside of you in these situations. What a great thing it is, encouragement for Pastor Hanks to be able to help place other men in ministries and help us start other churches. And just what that has meant for me to have a mentor and for him to have somebody to mentee in these situations. I looked at my pastor, so I got to be saved under Pastor Keith Gomez up in Chicago, and then got to be in part of ministry under Pastor Todd Lasseter in Arlington, Texas, and then got to start this church alongside of Pastor Scott Hanks. And I'm just telling you, man, it's just a blessing to be able to have men in ministry that you can look up to and that you can run the race alongside of. But of all the concerns that Paul had when it comes to ministry, we see one of them mentioned in Acts chapter 20. We go to verse 22. Can somebody start reading 22, 23, 24 for me? When somebody start reading 22, Brother Daniels.
And now, behold, I go bound in the spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that the bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count on my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus.
Paul makes it clear that it's not enough just to finish. It's not enough just to run in the race. It's not enough just to complete the task that is set before him. He says that I may finish my course with joy. And one of the concerns is that somewhere along the path of ministry, somewhere on the path of Christian service, the devil comes in and robs Christians of their joy.
Yes.
What that's going to do is it's going to discourage others from joining in. They're going to look at the race you're running and then say, I want nothing to do with that. That does not look like anything that I want to be a part of. And if we're going to encourage others to run the race, we have to make sure that we understand that we're doing this with joy. And part of public speaking, right? Know your audience. And I understand that there's men in here who have gone through deep hurts. We're going to talk to men who are widowers. We're going to talk to ladies who have suffered loss. We're going to talk to people who have experienced deep heartbreaks and ministries that have separated from the man of God. And you just say, man, there's so much to this. But I also understand that you're not just speaking, knowing your audience, but you're knowing the author from behind whom you're speaking. And God's the one that penned these words that says, look, that you can finish your course, that you can run your race with joy. He says, once again, the human pen, we're thinking about Paul, his testimony. You know what he's about to go into. And he says, I want to do it with joy.
Right.
I don't want to just get there. I don't want to just survive it. I just don't want to accomplish it. He says, I want to have a testimony that I've done this with joy.
Yeah.
Look at it again, if you would, in verse 24. He says that I might finish my course with joy. And if I can encourage you today, finish your course with joy. Finish your course with joy. Finish. Let's start with this year. Finish 2024 with joy. You know what 2024 is? It's an election year. It's going to be a bloodbath. You have predetermined that the end of 2024 is going to be all-out chaos. And yeah, it is. But you understand that joy is something that comes from the Holy Spirit and is not at the mercy of our circumstances when it comes to joy. And yeah, the circumstances are going to be horrendous. It is, as Baptist preachers, we talk about the imminent return of Jesus Christ. knowing that we're in the last days. And then things go terribly wrong, and we're like, they're going terribly. We know they're going to go terribly wrong, and we know it's trending down. And yet we still say, I want to finish my course with joy. It's not out of ignorance that we preach this. It's out of respect for the Word of God that we say, this is the testimony that I want to have all the way to the very end. You know the ministry of Paul. You know what he had to experience. You know the great loss. And still he said, this is something I don't want to lose. Why do pastors, why do God's people lose their joy? God says, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundant. Where does that come from? Is that John Tenish? What is... We're just pastors here. We don't know references. No, that's okay. But what's the beginning of that verse? The thief has come but to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and might life more abundant. What happens? The thief, the devil's good at what he does. And he robs Christians of their joy. You have circumstances, and our attention goes on the circumstances, and we're going to say, God, I got to get through this. God, I got to survive this. God, would you help me through it? And he does, and he gets you to the other side. But while your attention is here, the devil comes in over here and robs you of your joy.
Right.
And you finish your ministry and say, I did it. I made it to the end. I survived it. I battled. I wore a good warfare for Jesus Christ. Excellent. Did you keep your joy? Did you retain the joy that God intended you to have for ministry? And I do not want at all to be insensitive towards the trials that you have faced. But we're taking this from the Word of God and a man that had a ministry that you and I don't want to speak for you, that I would have a hard time volunteering to walk in the path that Paul walked in. What he experienced. And he said, man, I want to finish my course with joy. Finish 2024 with joy. Predetermined that, God, I'm going to make sure that 2024, when this year concludes, that there is joy in my ministry, in my family, in my home. Say, we look back at other election years and the disparities, the discouragements that come. We look back at the finishing of 2023. It is a bad testimony for God's people to just say, I'm trying to get through it. To just say, and I understand what you're saying, and I don't want to read into the semantics too much, but so many people, it's the holidays, and just, I can't wait till this is over. Talking about celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm sorry it's so difficult for you. Just got to get past the holidays. And then you just get past the holidays. But no, it's the winter months, and it's snow, and it's ice, and I can't wait for this to be done. But then the spring rolls around, and then there's always going to be a burden or a problem. And man, just wait till 2024 is done, right? Hilarious in 2020. Oh, I can't wait till 2021 rolls around. Like that was going to be a magic improvement. I'm glad to have that in the past. There's going to be problems in the future all the way to the bitter end. And so what are we going to do? We're going to get to the end. Oh, glad to have that life done with. No! Bless God, no! We are supposed to live this life with joy. The great blessing that we have to tread on this earth and the days of the lives of our lives that God has given us are a gift from Him. And may we live every one of them like that. You say, yeah, but my life is struggling. Everybody's life is struggling. Everybody's is. And I understand there's different degrees of struggles. But joy comes from your God.
Amen.
My pastor in Texas would always say, my joy is not derived from the people that I serve, but from the God that I serve. I appreciate his testimony, and that man walked a hard path, and God brought him through some deep waters and some dark valleys. But he would stand and say that my joy is not derived from the people I serve, but from the God I serve. And may that be your testimony today. May this not but just be hypothetical. May this not just be rhetoric as a pastor to pastors, but may this be something that we have as a conviction in our heart that says, man, I want to have joy in this. I don't want to lose it. Guard this. So be aware that the devil's going to try to rob you of these things. Finish out your year with joy. Finish your child-rearing days with joy. As parents of young children, sometimes it struggles. Parenting is not for the frail. It can break a person. It can break it, especially if they don't sleep. And then you don't sleep. And then, man, it just spiraled. Sleep is pretty necessary. You know how closely the spiritual and the physical are connected. I'm a spiritual man until you don't sleep or you miss a meal. And then, yes, man, I'm struggling. Yeah, it's a struggle. But you only have a short window to be that kid's hero. And the hero status is harder to maintain, I think, the older they get. You say, I want to finish this season, Brother Johnston, with a little Liberty and also Leland. Man, what precious kids you have. And I understand, man, you're balancing ministry and work and family. And you said this is one of the busiest times of your life. And you're going to survive it, and you're going to get through it. But I want to encourage you, don't just finish this. Finish this with joy. And look back and say, my, you know what that's going to mean for your kids?
Right.
To see their father and the joy that he had in ministry. But you know how many kids of pastors regret the ministry because of the fatigue that they saw take over their dad. And just the heartbreaks. And bless God, you fought a good fight, and you finished your course. But he said, it's not enough just to finish. I want to complete with joy.
Amen.
I don't want to lose. And man, the body of Christ, the local church, the pastors that you serve alongside, the independent Baptists, we need you. We need you to figure this out, to complete with joy. I want to get it right, which finish my course with joy is what he says. Finish your, make sure our marriages are that there's joy. That what a, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing.
Amen.
Man, don't just get hung on to the bitter end. That's your marriage, the bitter end. Oh, I wasn't like the other 50% that got a divorce, man. We stayed together like chain and ball. No, man. Oh, finish your course. And you see it in the lives of young people, their dating relationship. I need a girlfriend, I need a boyfriend. And man, I can't wait till I'm engaged and can't wait till I get to get married. And it's just the next thing and next thing. And why don't you, along every waypoint of this journey, say, I found joy in the courting process. I found joy in having a fiance. I found joy in marriage. And I'm going to have joy all the way to the very end. Whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Let's make sure our marriages have joy. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. May our ministries be finished with joy. It is a privilege to be serving in perilous times. I thank God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Amen. Is this state, this time, this place, no mistake. Man, are you convinced that God placed you where you're at?
That's right.
Then you can serve with joy.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because he's enabled you. God equips for whom he calls.
Yes, sir.
It's a privilege to serve God's people.
Yes, sir.
It absolutely is. Yeah, I know. There's some knuckleheads, right? And there's some struggles. You have heard the pastors, tongue in cheek, you know, ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. Can you imagine if they turned that on you?
Right.
Church would be great if it wasn't for the pastors.
Right.
It's not so funny when it goes the other direction.
Yeah.
What a joy it is. What a joy it is. I do not derive my joy, though, from the people that I serve, but from the God I serve.
Right.
Finishing our last days, finishing just this tenure here on earth with joy. One of the great blessings of my ministry is preaching in nursing homes for 5 years. Every Sunday afternoon between services, I preach in a couple different nursing homes in Chicago. And then I learned, though, that the older people get, the sweeter they get, or the more sour they get. And I would like to be able to finish with joy. I would like to be able to say, man, on my way out, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I hope that's your testimony. I hope as you decide to run the race that is set before you, that you are very careful to not let the thief rob you of your joy. I would like to highlight that this morning and just say, pause for a second, whatever you're going through. Okay, your focus is on that. You're going to complete that task. How is your joy? Has it been depleted? And I understand happiness is going to come in ebbs and flows. But there's a constant that comes. There is an inner strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. There's joy of the Lord. What are some ways? If you would take your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, let's head there for a few pieces of practical advice when it comes to maintaining or regaining our joy. You understand, man, this topic is not something that is new to any of you. This passage is not a passage that you haven't preached on more than I have preached on. You understand that when it comes to doctrine, we get this. But may we not just live it out in doctrine or theoretical truths. May we live it out in practical truths. As a Bible-believing Baptist preacher, the Bible is the final authority for all matters of faith and practice. We don't just want to preach this. May we live this out as our testimony. There's no greater joy than to be able to be a servant to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And sometimes it is not easy, but that doesn't mean that we get to abandon the joy that God has intended us to live this life with. So we're in Philippians chapter 4, and we see verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, understanding the theme of Philippians, rejoicing or joy. Some 16, 18 times you're going to see those derivatives through the book of Philippians, knowing that, once again, the human pen, Paul, writes this from a jail cell. Oh, with the shackles clanging as he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So when you look at a young man that's preaching a passage and you say, yeah, but you don't understand what lies ahead. I don't know. I don't know what you've had to go through. But I'm going to just have confidence in the Word of God in this one. I'm going to stand behind his book. Rejoice in the Lord always. Advice for retaining and renewing joy. Choose to rejoice. Pastor Bob Smith, he was the man that led my pastor, the Lord, Keith Gomez, 50 years ago. He was the man that pastored the church in Texas that I got to go and work under for right when he was retiring. So the man had decades of ministry experience. And one time somebody asked him a hypothetical. He said, Pastor Smith, if you could only take one additional book with you, in addition to your Bible, what book would you grab? Without hesitation, Pastor Smith, any guesses on what book he said he would take with him? He said, a songbook. He said, easy, it's a songbook. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making a melody in your heart to the Lord. The old soul-stirring psalms and hymns. It renews the inner man. And he says, rejoice, men, if you're struggling in this area, why don't you just push pause. Activity might be one of the poorest excuses for spirituality.
Right.
Push
right.
Pause just for a minute.
Yeah.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
Amen.
And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. What a great testimony you can have during perilous times to see a man of God rejoicing, finding strength from the God that we always say can sustain us through any time. And then God decides to put that through the test. See, man, that's a man that practices what he preaches. We need you to do that as young pastors looking to pastors with tenure. We desperately depend on it. The generation that comes up behind you, they say, do I want to enter into that race or not? And they see a man that can rejoice in the Lord, choosing to rejoice. Music renews our joy. Moderation is a calmness of mind. I find it humorous when the world degrades Christians for having such a reliance on God as it's a weakness, but how they're always having to have something else to sustain them through this life as they flee to alcohol or they're vaping or their constant medications, whether legal or illegal, or their drugs. You know what? I understand that medications are necessary in some cases, but not as necessary as people make them seem. But when you decide to remove God from the equation, there's a massive hole. And if you're going to say, look, you're so dependent on God, well, I'm not dependent on your alcohol. I'm not dependent on your drugs. I'm not going to depend on your medications. I'm not. The joy of the Lord, that your moderation may be known to all men, your calmness of mind, and there's something inner strength that comes with knowing the joy of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Choose to rejoice. Choose to pray. There's no big revelation, guys. The conclusion of this sermon isn't an aha moment. It's just the practical things that we preach. But I just want to encourage you to live them out in your everyday life. There is such a quiet calm. There is such a strength. It's inexplicable how praying people have a source of joy that non-praying people cannot seem to find. And pastors, busy from the day you get up, from the moment your eyes wake up, all of the thoughts of all the things. And sometimes you say, man, where did the joy in ministry go? Well, is your joy derived from the people you serve or from the God you serve? And pausing for a minute to spend some time with your Heavenly Father. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God which passeth all understanding. I want to see peace like a primer to joy. If you've ever done any plumbing work and you put the purple stuff on before you put the adhesive on, and it just kind of primes it. Or if you ever painted any walls and you prime it first and it just helps the paint adhere to those things. And I just think about the peace of God which passeth all understanding. It's kind of that primer that helps joy stick to you when you walk through this life.
Amen.
The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds. Man, there's a lot of Christians losing their minds. But worse than that, there's a lot of pastors that are losing their minds. And there is a mental stress that comes to ministry. But we pull back for a minute and say, I'm going to choose to pray. Be careful for nothing. You know, the holy grail of definitions as we go to Webster's 1828. And we're like, hey, I need a fancy definition for this word. Careful, full of care. Aha. Glad I could get some explanation on that. But I do think about it. If you're at capacity with your cares, where is the room for joy?
Right.
It's gone. And until you dissipate those cares, casting all your cares upon Him for He careth for you, you're going to find it very difficult to have any joy, room for God to bring joy into your life when it comes to ministry, when it comes to the family, when it comes to the home. Choose to adjust our thinking. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, you think on these things. Some practical advice when it comes to making sure joy is retained. Pause for a second. The goodness of God bringeth men to repentance. He daily loadeth us with benefits. Don't overlook the goodness of God in the land of the living. Man, you're He's good to us. He's good. Man, God's good. Let's finish here. Choose to work. You say that's sounds patronizing. So we work and we work and we work and we work. Yeah, but still, don't stop the work. He goes on to say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Can someone read that for me? Verse 9. Anybody? Philippians chapter.
Thank you. Those things which ye have both learned, received, and heard, and seen in me, do.
Yeah.
And the God of peace shall be with you.
Where does the God of peace walk with you when you're doing the things that you're called to do? Do the things that you're called to do.
Amen.
Man, restore unto me the joy of my salvation.
Amen.
You know the next best thing to being born again is being next to somebody when they get born again. If God gets to use you to give the gospel, man, when discouragement comes, go knock some doors and find a lost person, lead them to Jesus, and watch God just focus on things that are eternal. And watch your joy. Restore unto me the joy. Will thou not revive thy people? Ministry. Just everyday, real ministry. I'm a man that would emphasize quality in everything you do, in the properties that we have, in the buildings that we own, in the graphics that we put out, in every publication, may it be quality. But you know, at the end of the day, all that's just going to burn up. This building is gone, right? When you're investing in things eternal, the eternal God brings joy to your heart like nothing else can. Remodeling some rooms in the basement. It's fun. It brings me happiness. Yeah. But not really sustaining joy. I get to launch a missions month and working on the graphics for missions and our whole template. And that's I'm enjoying that. But there is no sustaining value in the graphics we're putting out. But when you get to do the things that you've seen and learn in me, the God of peace comes. And there's something special about that. I want to encourage you. Please continue. Choose to rejoice. Would you please choose to pray? Choose to adjust your thinking. It's a choice, men. Choose to work. And watch what God does in your heart. Paul said, I'm very concerned about this. Not just that I'm afraid you're not going to finish. He said, no, it's not just that. I'm afraid you're not going to run the race. It's not just that. He says, I may finish my course with joy.
Right.
And I so desperately want to see you finish your course and retain every bit of joy that God intended for you to have along the journey of ministry. Let's bow in prayer if we would, please. Dear Heavenly Father, it's been a privilege to speak. And Lord, I pray that how this was presented would not at all have been insulting to the great men I get to stand before and the ministries that you've allowed them to lead and the lives that you've allowed them to live. Father, I pray that every one of us, though, would remember how important it is that we finish our course with joy. Men, with our eyes bowed and our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to ask you just to take a minute to reflect back on your ministry. Has there been a time in your ministry where joy was at a higher level than it is now? then it's trending in the wrong direction and something needs to change. Something needs to change. Would you join me at the altar and just spending some time in prayer and saying, God, would you please restore to me the joy? God, would you please help me to have a man, be a man that finishes his course at every waypoint to be found retaining his joy? If the devil's done something recently that has distracted you, watch your joy. Please be aware of that. Let's pray about it this morning. May we finish our course with